The psalm reads like this. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. The Lord's trying to get a message over to the entire world, to every person in it. The message follows. It's a word of warning, and it's a word of instruction. The psalmist said, my mouth shall speak of wisdom. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some good information. And we would say today, listen up. Don't go to sleep on me. And don't let your mind drift and wander to other things, because what you're about to hear is important. I'm going to give you wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable, and I will open up my dark saying upon the harp. In other words, I'm going to show you an earthly situation and an earthly circumstance that will demonstrate an eternal principle. I'm going to give you a temporal example that if you will listen, you will have understanding concerning a spiritual truth. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? And what he's saying there is, why should I be afraid when my enemies surround me? Why should I be frightened when my enemies gather against me and compass me round about? And then he goes on in the next two verses particularly, and he makes a really bold and powerful statement where he says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. The psalmist is saying, I want the whole world to know that nobody can acquire eternal life by natural means. You can take the richest guy in all of the world, but his money will not buy 1 minute in heaven. Those that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of riches, none of them can, by any of the means that they have, none of them can redeem his brother nor give God a ransom for him. There is not enough money on the face of the earth to buy redemption for a sinner. There is no way possible that you could gather up all of the wealth of the whole earth if you could earn it yourself. You cannot provide eternal life for you or anybody else, including your child, by amassing the world's things. We have parents and families worldwide today that want to give their children the best. And they work, and they labor, and they sweat, and they shed blood. And they work from 6 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. And it's work, work, work. They've got no time for the kids. They've got no time for God. They've got no time for the things of God. They've got no time for prayer. There's no time for reading the Word. There's only time for money, money, money. Work, work, work. Honor, honor, honor. And in the end, they die and go to hell. Their kids die and go to hell because the wealth that you accumulate in this earth, it cannot buy eternal life for you, and it cannot buy eternal life for your child. We've come here today and we've dedicated children to the Lord. We said, Lord, we love you, and we want to commit our children to the Lord. There is only one way that salvation can be provided for a child. And that is not with silver and gold. It's not with the world's means. It's only through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were not redeemed with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish or spot. The next verses tell us that the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. The word precious there means costly or expensive. The redemption of a human soul is costly. To buy back a soul which is sinned is expensive. It's not even in the Neiman Marcus catalog. cannot buy it with anything the earth has. You can't buy it with all the earth has. There's not enough money. There's not enough power. There's not enough honor. There's not enough of anything to buy a man's soul. The redemption of a person's soul is expensive. And it lacks forever. It ceaseth forever. It lacks forever. In other words, it is always longing to be redeemed. And there's never enough to do it. I can tell you that for a fact. I labored all my adult life until 7 years ago trying to amass the things of this world. But they did not redeem my soul, even though I amassed a good number of them. It was too expensive. I couldn't buy it. I took my family and I sacrificed my family on the altar of things, and I didn't know it. I took my wife and my two sons and I laid them at the altar of getting honor in the world, recognition and position and money. And I didn't realize what I was doing. But it did not produce for me the thing which I needed, which was eternal life. It did not produce for me what I needed, which was redemption from my old nature. It was too expensive. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't earn it. There was no way for me to have it, and I was constantly lacking it. The redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. In other words, every person, rich, poor alike, must eventually die. What you have, you cannot take with you. You will leave it to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their own names. In other words, in order to keep their names to go on and to keep honor coming to themselves, they name their farms after themselves. They name their estates after themselves. They name their land after themselves. And that causes their life to live on. How futile. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He can have all the honor he wants, but when he dies, he's going to be just as dead as the poorest, lowest guy in all of the earth. And if he's lived his whole life in the amassing of wealth and the amassing of honor and the amassing of the recognition of men, when he dies, he'll be just as dead as the lowest bum in Skid Row. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Everybody says, yeah, listen to him. Oh, listen to his wise words. But like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. They're going to get just as stinking. They'll get just as dead. Their bodies will be just as consumed in the grave, regardless of the amount of honor they had in this life and regardless of the amount of money that had been amassed in this life. Verse 15 is the great cry of hope from the psalmist. He says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. I don't put my trust in money. I don't put my trust in position. I don't put my trust in the honor or the esteem of men for my salvation or the salvation of my children. I put it in the name of the Lord, for God is the only one who can pay the tremendous cost of salvation. It's so expensive to redeem a soul that no man and no civilization could ever pay it for one, let alone for many. But the psalmist said, I know that God has got enough, and I know that God will redeem my soul from the grave, and I know that God has enough to pay the price, because the price is the sacrifice of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself come in the flesh. He said, I'll pay the price. They can't afford it, but I'll pay it for them. Parents, I want you to know that there's absolutely nothing that you can do in your life as far as the earthly things are concerned, the amassing of honor and position and vocation and esteem of men and money and wealth and all of that sort of thing, that'll mean anything at all to your children for eternity. Absolutely nothing those things mean. Nothing. 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 You can leave them 500 acres of estate. You can leave them a 5,000 square foot home. You can leave them a business, a multi-million dollar business. You can leave them a stipend of $500,000 a year so that they can just be living vegetables for the rest of their life. You can do all of those things. You see, that man said, "Boy, that guy really took care of his kids. That guy really took care of his kids." On a more practical level, you can provide a college education. You can send them on to medical school or law school or dental school, and you can cause them to become an educated and professional person. You can provide a certain amount of financial inheritance for them so that they're able to buy their own home and do some of the things that you would want to do for them. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But they're only going to enjoy those things for 50 or 60 years. But what about eternity? What are your children going to do for the rest of eternity? Will you invest your entire life just to provide for them for a few short years? Or will you give yourself to the work of the kingdom of God in such a way that you provide an eternal inheritance for your child? That's the message God wants us to hear this morning. That's the thing that God wants each of us as parents to deal with today. Where are our priorities? What have we established as most important for us? Is it most important that we develop honor and fame and esteem among men? Is it most important to us that we amass a worldly fortune when I say fortune, we may not be thinking the same thing. But is it God's will for us to devote a disproportionate amount of our time and energy into the amassing of the world's things that we're only going to enjoy for a few years, our children can only enjoy for a few years, their children only for a few years, and spend eternity, all of us, in hell? Or would God have us devote the few short years that we have here? Would He have us devote the few short years that we have with our children to give unto them the knowledge of God, the Word of God, a godly example so that they might receive the redemption that only God can pay? Only God can provide that. The most important thing you can do for your child is not make sure he's got 3 pair of new shoes. I know most of you are struggling to try to put 1 good pair on, but you understand what I'm talking about. Let's watch where our priorities are, and let's be sure that we have our eyes on Jesus and that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and not the kingdom of this world. Let's be sure that we know that the redemption of a soul is expensive and only God can provide that. And the most important thing you can give your child is yourself. The most important thing you can give your child is a godly example. The most important thing you can give your child is the knowledge of God and His Word. The most important thing you can give your child is a personal introduction and a living relationship with the living Jesus Christ, one who will buy his soul back from the pit and grant him everlasting life, something that he can have forever, not just for 50 or 60 years while he's on this earth. The world is on a trip. It's going nowhere. Unfortunately, many church members are on the same trip. Many church members have jumped on the same train and haven't realized that it doesn't lead anywhere and it doesn't take us anyplace eternal. Verse 16, "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased." You know how it is when the neighbors get a new car. You know how it is when the neighbors move. The neighbors on this side, they move away and get a bigger house. The neighbors over here, they move away and get a bigger house. The ones across the street, they move away and get a bigger house. And the first thing you know, you're left there all alone, or you have a bunch of new neighbors and you feel like there's something wrong with you because you're the only one on the street that doesn't have a new house. Gosh, we need a new house. And so you begin to work all kinds of crazy hours. You take another job. You do this, that, or the other. You leave your family alone. You go on out to amass what you can amass so that you can get that new house. What good is that if you die and go to hell, or your child dies and goes to hell? What good is it? What good is it? What good is it? Don't you be envious. When someone else is around you is made rich, he seems to be having it together, You feel like there's something wrong with you, I tell you, Matthew 6:33 says, if you seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness first and make that a priority item in your life, that He'll see that you have everything else that you need or want. I said, or want. For when the rich man dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul and said how happy he was. And said, oh, look at me, how wonderful everything is with me. I'm having this wonderful time. You watch the beer commercials on television. You see how much fun they're having? See how much enjoyment everybody is having? Boy, just throw down that sud. Just slosh that stuff down. Just laugh. And wonderful. Oh, it's a glorious, wonderful time. They don't show you the other side. All they have to do is just be around here for a week or two. See the other side of that. Don't be concerned about those people that are calling themselves happy and they have a temporal kind of a happiness. Men even praise him when he does well to himself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. In other words, he's going to the same place his dad did, same place his ancestors did. They shall never see light. A man that is in honor. Now, there's nothing wrong with honor, having honor in the earth. There's nothing wrong with that. But to have honor and understand not spiritual things and eternal things is like a beast that perishes. He's like a dumb animal. Now, you may not think that that's very good news. You may be here today and you're in this kind of a fix right here. That you're striving and you're struggling to get your act together and you're trying to get as much money as you can and you're trying to make as much headway in your job as you can and you're trying to get the esteem and the honor and the recognition of men. God's Word says if you don't have an understanding of the real and the true and the living God, if you have not taken Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no better off than a dumb animal. God didn't make you to be a dumb animal. God created you in the image and the likeness of Himself, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Won't you let Him? Won't you give Him your life? And won't you covenant with God and with yourself to give that same life to your child? Let me ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that if you like this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not interested in making a fool of anybody. But if you're not saved, beloved, the devil's already made a fool out of you.